And a very good Tuesday afternoon to you. Thank you so much for being here with us on The Lowdown. We are complete once again. I'm Damian Barling along with Jason Ross, and welcome back, Ken Rudolph.
I'm a person again.
He's whole.
I'm
whole?
A person again.
Feel better? We didn't initially address what happened Friday. We kind of left that out there, but we also forgot that you were off Monday. So given the events of last week, we thought, okay, we're just going to have to acknowledge why Ken wasn't here Friday and that today was a scheduled day off. So, and I saw you posted on social media about your incident on Friday. So I thought it was fair game to tell everybody what went on.
Oh, I didn't know that. I didn't know you told. That's all. That's fine.
Yeah. We
just stinks.
We could get away with one day, but two it was like, yeah. Oh,
right. You got to tell them something. That's true.
Gotta
you
got to
tell
them something.
There's a couple of people like, seriously, was
okay. Yeah, just, what's going on?
He was off
because he says some stuff.
I didn't say anything. The very rare occasion where I'd actually leave stuff in the car. Very rarely ever happens. It happened to be a day where I left stuff in the car. I don't leave stuff in the car. And the combination of my wife not understanding how the lock on my remote system works, got to push it twice to actually lock the doors on the car. So we left an opportunity.
Oh, so they didn't actually break into it.
No,
they just opened
it. They just opened it. So we left an opportunity.
Is that better, though, in some sense?
Well, I guess you didn't have to have, windows replaced.
Right,
and
exactly.
Because that was my first thought. It's like, damn, I know that sucks, but that's a new car. Like, now you
right.
got to go get the windows fixed and...
No, I wasn't that. But
well, see, there's a bright side.
But see, I'm weird like that. I would have rather that because then I know definitively what happened.
Yeah.
Like, it took me 3 days to figure out, how did they get in the car? And then my wife...
Now you're just mad at your wife.
No, I wasn't. They were both... Because I did the same thing myself, even today when I was, locking the car to go into work. And I remember I didn't hear anything behind me. I forgot to push a second time. And so it's one of those things. So anyway, they got all my ID, my credit cards, blah, blah, blah. So,
We've all been there.
Yeah. So
shopping spree.
Cancel everything. And luckily, there's no activity. So I don't know. Cancel everything and start my life over.
Can you wipe out your iPad? Did you remotely wipe out your iPad? Because your iPad's in your car, right?
That was the one. My iPad's here. It was in my little lunch sack.
Oh, okay.
So I have my work bag and then my lunch sack. I always bring the lunch sack inside because, there's food in there.
Right.
So I don't want that to sit outside. So it was in the lunch sack that day. So they did not get my iPad.
Okay, that's good.
But and they didn't really get anything, I guess. Just my ID and credit cards. There was and the headphones that I use for work, so I had to buy new headphones. But the good thing out of this is I only had three people tell me, oh, man, you shouldn't leave stuff in your car overnight. Really? Really? That's what you're going to tell me right now after somebody stole my life? people, you should think about
They really do know your life.
Yeah, they do, right? But I think about that. People, they think you think you're helping. Think about what you're saying to somebody who just went through... It's mildly traumatic, but it is traumatic.
Yeah.
And then you're going to say to them, oh, yeah, you should never do that.
Hey, don't forget to lock your car.
Don't forget to lock your car. Really? I'm going to punch you in the throat. So, we made a mistake. Someone took our stuff, blah, blah, blah. I went to the DMV. I tried to go yesterday. I did not have an appointment, so I sat in the parking lot for 2 hours trying to find a parking space. And that did not go well. But I got to hear the show, so that was good. And you guys were great. And then today...
Worthy of your presence. Thank you.
You are worthy of my presence here today. And then today, I went to the DMV off of Mack Road, La Mancha, out there, right?
Car got broken into again.
No. I made an appointment for 10:40, right? So I left as soon as Good Day was over, got in my car, went over there, walked in the door at 10:30. I was in line for the appointment. I walked out at 10:51. With a brand new driver's license. Of course, they'll send the picture in 3 weeks, but I got my paperwork. Now I can drive and not have any issues.
Guinness is outside.
I was going
to
say.
Dude, yeah. I'm serious. It has to be a record, right? Yeah. I am not kidding. They were awesome.
That's
great. I had an appointment like everybody else. I didn't get any treatment. I had an appointment, got a number, sat down, I waited, came up, boom, in and out. So thank you to the lovely people at the DMV on La Mancha. And Highway 99 in Mack Road.
Road that a phrase that has never been uttered before.
And by the way, the facility is fantastic.
A phrase that has never been uttered before.
I suggest you take a trip out there just to see the facility.
I drive all the way to Roseville because it moves really quick.
Is it really?
I will drive the 30-some-odd minutes from Natomas to Roseville because that DMV moves
fast.
See,
I tried to find one in Roseville because I heard that and I couldn't find it when I was doing the search. They kept sending me the Carmichael.
No, there's one in Roseville.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
That's the one I always go to.
I'm serious.
Did they tell you not to leave stuff in your car?
Yes, they did. Yes, they did tell me that. Seriously, man, go to La Mancha. I'm not kidding you.
Hang out if you got a DMV
issue.
Oh, no, hang out there. They got
people out there selling candy and stuff like that. Seriously.
Bootleg T-shirts and everything.
There's none of that happening. There are no Tupac shirts with the PACK. There are no bootleg shirts out there.
Can you buy Get Out on DVD outside?
It's already out there.
It's already there.
Exactly. It's the Canadian version.
I saw it last night, though. It's awesome.
That's Jordan Peele's movie,
yeah,
right?
It's awesome. It's really good.
It's two for two.
Yeah,
you and Chris.
Really, really good. Chris and I both saw it. It's really
Is it aggressive?
I know what your reaction leaving the movie will be, but
What do you mean?
Not suitable for on-air consumption.
Oh, okay.
But
okay.
Yeah, no, it's good. It's a thriller.
Is it like Scary Movie aggressive?
A scary movie, like a horror movie?
No, what was the one? Isn't
you mean the Wayans Brothers?
Yeah, yeah, that's Scary Movie, right?
Yeah, no, it's not funny.
Oh, it's not funny.
Oh, no, it's a real thriller.
It's a thriller.
Oh, it's real?
Yeah. It's a thriller.
Oh,
no,
I thought
it was
like kind of like
not funny.
Did you have nightmare? Like, is it that kind of movie that can make you?
No, it makes you like you think and you're trying to figure out like what's happening and where the plot's going. And there, any movie that has an audible reaction from the audience during certain points is good. And there's points where you hear what the come on. Really? There are those moments in the movie.
But, I mean, like, critics have said this is fantastic. And now you two have both have said it's really good.
Yeah, it's good. It's worth it. It's worth it. It's totally worth it.
I love Jordan Peele, but I didn't know
did
it was
a great
real.
Job.
I thought it was like a total,
no.
like a tongue-in-cheek kind of
nope.
like.
No. Nope.
It's a serious
not.
Deal.
Wow.
It's not.
Okay.
No,
it's
really good.
It's on my list.
So DMV reviews, movie reviews have led us off here today. DeMarcus Cousins got he's going to be suspended. That's not our problem anymore.
That's a shame.
That's not our issue. But the Kings losing to the Timberwolves last night.
That's our problem.
That is a shame.
That's a problem. And not just them losing, but the way that they lost. I'll go back to Friday's show. KHTK, come for the Kings, stay for the DMV. I don't know who wrote that, but you're awesome. That's great. go back to Friday's show, game Thursday, Friday's show, and so many people called and they were so happy. It's like I don't want to be this happy just reacting to one game. And Jason, you know, we had said that day, Ken, guys, enjoy it. Like it's fun. It's okay to be happy after a win. Enjoy it. Be over the top. Be whatever you want to be, because we don't know what Saturday's going to bring. We don't know what the next day is going to bring. Just enjoy it from game to game. And damn it, these last two games have been tough to sit through.
They have been, and I don't have, besides the obvious of being shorter of top-level talent, they did some things where you say, all right, I could see that being the recipe. Six people scoring in double figures. The ball was moving, but they didn't play a great team. They didn't play a great defensive team, and they struggled still to get 88 points. And so the lull, it's happened even when they were healthy. Remember, we were talking about one quarter does them in. Well, the second quarter was awful, 40-19, and that was – now you're down too far without the star power to catch up. And I don't know. We thought the first game was maybe an aberration. Maybe the second game was. The third game would kind of settle out to maybe be more of the team they are. I don't know. Who knows how the final 22 will go. But I'm just really surprised that scoring has been that difficult over the last two games.
I think it came down to a moment there in the game, and I can't remember at what point it was. I want to say it was in the third period where Grant and I do believe Jerry – I think so, because I always watch the games back, and I'm fast-forwarding. And they were talking about, you know, the problem is just these guys haven't practiced. It's like, you can tell. It's like they have no rhythm. They have no flow. They don't know exactly what's happening next. Once they give that ball up, they're not sure, and you can tell. And so, obviously, there's going to be a good deal of that, because when are you going to get a chance to practice, right? All these games are back-to-back-to-backs. So, you know, you get one day off. So they're just going to have to work their way through it. And so I feel like the one thing we can assess – is just your basic basketball talent, IQ, acumen. Like, you can see already, Scal Labissiere, he's got something. He's got something real.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so that's what we're looking at right now. So, I mean, it may be a case where it's going to be very difficult to assess them as a team, but you're more assessing the parts. What do you want to keep? Because that's the fun that all the fans get to have now. You've got 20-some-odd games, and you basically get to do what you've been doing all year anyway. Get to play GM from home.
Right.
Watch these guys out there and be like, want to keep that guy. Like that energy. I think we can do better at that position. That guy can go. Like, that thing gets kind of fun. Because what's the harm?
Right.
Because you know what's going to happen. You know we got to make some moves. You know, as soon as they get that final horn in April, stuff's going to start happening. So I don't, you know, it's It's tough to see them go out there and take L's like that, but I'm just also trying to find the bright spots and say, okay, there's some parts there that are really nice that they're going to be able to build upon.
And I almost wonder, this is going to sound a little weird, but because I agree, and Coach Yeager talked about how practice will be beneficial. They're not going to practice today, likely. Maybe film workout, a film session. They play tomorrow, and then they're off till Sunday. So three days, they'll probably practice 2 out of the 3 days. But I almost wonder, the first day, I literally think they just played.
Yeah.
They just played.
Yeah.
And I think they've incorporated a few things, and it's making it a little tricky.
Because they're basic sets.
Right. And it's like, wait, I just was playing before, and it's guys gathering and playing, and now it's, I'm supposed to be over here. And wait, all right, and it's almost like there's more input coming in, and they can't process it all because it's new.
So as a coach, and this is the hard part about being a coach, should he just make the decision, you know what, I'm not even going to worry about throwing in sets? Because think about it.
Yeah.
He told those other guys it would take them a year to figure out his sets, right? He's like, it's going to take us a year and a half to figure things out and turn the culture around. So now you're going to give these guys 20 games to figure it out? Like, it's going to help them? Wouldn't it be best to be like, you know what? Jump ball. Let's just go play. I'll see you guys at the timeout.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, he's still going to be the coach, and the guys that are still going to be here, you would want them to at least have
be familiar maybe with
I guess.
I feel like a lot of these guys will be here, though.
A lot of them will be, right?
I feel like they'll be here again. So,
you want them to be familiar with the sets calls?
I mean, why not get a heads up? I mean, if you really want to start, you know, waving the white flag, get a head start on next season. Like, hey, guys, this is my offense. We got to implement this. We're going to have guys coming in here next, you know, September or whatever it's going to be. But we got to start learning how to do this together because guys like, you know, Tyreek's probably not here. Ben, probably not. But guys like Buddy Hield are here.
Right.
Collison, you know, it'll be beneficial for those guys to do that.
See, and that's a whole other conversation there about the future of Ben McLemore. Like, I feel like his future is a bit more secure now that Buddy Hield is there because he's a good backup, Ben McLemore. But now you've got a starting two guard.
But then you have so you're willing to commit to, because now you have to sign him. There's no options. There's no, like, he's a free agent this year. So you're confident enough in Ben McLemore that you're going to offer him money to stay here in Sacramento?
I'm confident enough that no one else is going to offer him.
Well.
No, I mean, there'll be someone offering some money. Like, I think a San Antonio Spurs team would be like, you know what, we can use this guy. We don't rely on him too much. He's really quick. We can utilize that. But they're not going to offer him much more either. So I think it's the kind of thing that you're not really going to be paying an exorbitant amount to keep him.
Yeah, but what do you do if, I mean, Buddy's, you would think, is a part of him that they traded
for. Oh, yeah, absolutely. He's number one.
Temple signed. Aflalo's still technically on the roster and signed. You might be bringing in Bogdanovich. You have Malachi. It's interesting when they're all healthy. I mean, they have so many two guards right now all of a sudden.
True. So now if you're going to be keeping all of those individuals there, I mean, obviously we know Garrett can play both. Malachi obviously can play both. I'm not sure about Bogdanovich. I know he's got a little bit of size, but I don't know if he can play both. So, yeah, now you're looking at – you're going to trade Aaron Aflalo anyway. He's not long for this particular team. So then you package him and Ben?
Could be, yeah.
Okay, now you're talking about those other guys maybe, but I still feel like even with all of those guys, he's 23. He's got experience, right? He's got to get better.
And he has
Isn't
been
that what we keep saying?
But see, that's the kind of guy – like, you have to ask the question, is it worth it more to keep investing in your major talent, right? They get you 28-10, but you don't know exactly where it's going. Or to invest in this lesser talent that's not going to cost you nearly as much, doesn't really require as much, but you're still gambling on this player developing and turning into something that you can use. But it's not quite as much of an investment. I would much rather do that than worry about, you know, trying to keep 28-10. That's a little difficult sometimes.
Yeah. Here at 44-1140, if you want to share your thoughts, 339-1140. Of course, the phone lines are open for you as well. Let's be honest, losing is going to help with a better pick. New Orleans keeps losing, so far, so good post-trade. You guys talked a lot about second-chance points last night, Jay Ross. that was a big deal in that game getting out of hand for the Kings, and that was a 40-point quarter.
Yeah, the second quarter specifically, I think the Kings scored 19 as a team. Second-chance points only in the quarter. Minnesota had 18. So, I mean, they almost outscore the Kings in second-chance points in the quarter. Yeah, rebounds. Coach Yeager thinks rebounding will be difficult. They're not as big. They're maybe not as – you know, they're two most physical – I don't even know if intimidating presence, but DeMarcus can be that guy. So can Matt Barnes. So you've lost two guys that are kind of intense out there. And I think all these guys compete, But that's a little bit of an X factor that's missing, like a little bit of an edge from the team right now. Yeah.
Then I guess it's not as easy as just throw Big Poppy in there. Throw Yorgos in there. He's got size. He said that he's a willing rebounder. He wants to do that. All right.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah, they're getting him and Langston out there for really minimal minutes. Again, I think this is still kind of their part of we're not – I think if you start seeing GP and Langston Galloway play big minutes, it's their concession that we're not thinking about the eight seed anymore. I think there's still a certain part of them that are thinking about that eight seed.
They should.
And to a certain degree playing for that eight seed. Once those guys start getting minutes and you start trying to work those kinks out in live game situations – You're going, all right, we're not thinking about it anymore. We're moving on.
Yeah.
We're moving on.
And it's kind of like we said yesterday, even if you look at still from Denver down to Sacramento, New Orleans, Minnesota, nobody's been great since the break. I mean, the Pelicans haven't won. Kings are 1-2. I think Denver's 1-2. Portland's 1-1. Nobody's awesome down there. I mean, they're really – nobody is.
That's so difficult because you – I mean, somebody has to be that number eight spot. Right? Somebody has to do that.
Yeah,
but nobody has to earn it. Somebody just has to finish eighth when the season
ends. Right, but even if they don't earn it, there's still that whole thing that going into the playoffs, very similar to what we saw with the Houston Texans and the Oakland Raiders. We're like, we don't want to see either one of you right now. Nobody cares in the sense that no matter who wins this, the game loses.
Right.
Because you're like, I don't want to see Houston
Screw
move on.
Screw the game. We lose. And we're going to watch it anyways.
Right? And the Raiders are not full strength. So we're like... Right. Oh, man, we don't want to watch this. So it'd be kind of, I'm looking at the players, and I'm like, okay, let's say you make it. Let's say you get lightning in a bottle, and it's the fish that saves Pittsburgh all over again, and you guys go on a winning streak, and you make it to the playoffs. Then what?
You have two home games at the Golden One Center.
But
and you probably lose your pick.
And you lose your pick.
Yeah.
So you sacrifice the momentum that you got going forward so you can have a party today.
For two more home games.
Just so you can have a party.
But so the playoff drought can end.
Yeah.
Just so you can say that. Like,
yes.
That's like.
Playoff drought's over. It can start over next year, but it's over now.
Yeah, I just think that's just. That's a tough call. I found that to be useless. I was like, just go ahead and take your lumps.
It's constant conversation.
Yeah.
It's going to be a conversation for the next 20-some-odd games.
Yeah, it's obviously a difficult one in that, too. There's no foolproof way that. Getting in the lottery helps, right?
Right.
I think they did a really good thing. I heard a stat about all the All-Stars this year. You know how many of them weren't even lottery players? There's a lot of guys that made the All-Star team that weren't lottery guys.
That's right.
So that's not the end-all, be-all. Usually, if you watch last year's lottery teams, it's the same group this year. Kings, Minnesota.
What's lottery? 1 through 14, right?
Uh-huh.
Giannis Antetokounmpo, 15th.
Yep. Kawhi was in there.
Non-lottery.
Yep. Kawhi was past the lottery. Jimmy Butler was the last pick of the first round.
Mm-hmm.
Gobert's a second round. He was an all-star, but DeAndre Jordan's a second rounder.
Did Damian Lillard make it this year?
No.
No, but he's a first round
pick. Yeah,
he's a lottery pick.
Yeah,
he's a lottery pick. We don't talk about that here.
Yeah.
That
was Thomas Robinson instead of Damian Lillard.
I don't have a problem with that.
Ugh.
I mean, it's like...
Man, that's three different phrases that have been uttered for the first time ever here in the first 20 minutes of the show.
What's that?
Check
out the DMV. Head over to Mac Road. It's super nice. And
I don't have a problem
with Thomas Robinson.
In the sense that it's so hard to make these calls the time. So when I'm like, when I saw the story of Thomas Robinson, I'm like, the dude has a motor. He wants to board. Like, yeah, get him. And then the story on draft day and his family. And I'm like, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Get him.
You're such a sucker.
Get him.
You are such a
like,
sucker.
Like, why wouldn't you root for that guy? He didn't.
Well, you could root for him.
He doesn't mean you have to draft him.
Yeah.
He's totally. Yeah,
you could say, hey, we're going to take this Lillard kid, but good luck in Portland.
We'll root for you.
Yeah. We'll root for you. Nice story
little guy.
Nice story with your family there.
By the way, I heard his album the other day.
It's good, right?
He sounds a lot like Jay-Z.
He's got a good flow.
Do you not hear the Jay-Z tone?
Sure.
That's the thing that I was like, okay, can you get away with that?
Yeah.
It's all right. It's all right. It's not bad.
I mean.
It's not bad at all. I'm not really into that anymore, but it's not bad at all, man.
I mean, yeah, I dug it. I thought he did a great job with that. Next Kings game. Oh, man, it's the one. This is a big game. as much as it can be for the Kings and Kings fans, because you don't want to lose this game. The Brooklyn Nets are here tomorrow night.
Ooh, oh! Now it applies. That's for Brooklyn. That's
Brooklyn in the house?
That's the Brooklyn call. And thing with the hip hop.
I thought that was an Atlanta thing.
No. No, most deaf.
Okay. Can we retire that?
Man. Come on.
All right. Brooklyn is Brooklyn in the house. They're terrible. They are the worst team on earth. They might be worse than the 76ers last year because they're not trying to be this bad. And guess what? They're going to be this bad next year. No matter what you want from the Kings in terms of playoff position or eight spot or lottery positioning or worrying about keeping your draft pick, you don't want to lose tomorrow night's game.
No. They're what, 9-50-something?
They've been on 9 wins for a really long time.
16 losses in a row. Two road wins. They have a weird little schedule here. They played the same day the Kings played Saturday, right, in Oracle. They played that day, and they haven't played since. So they've just been out here. But just as a cautionary tale, last year Philadelphia won 10 times. They beat the Kings and nearly beat them a second time, and that was with DeMarcus and Rudy. Yeah, yeah. And it can happen. They obviously have won 9 times. They're not great. They're
the
worst.
They beat them here, too,
yeah,
right?
They did.
Yep.
Yeah.
They beat them here.
So. And they're the worst stats. I mean, they're the worst defense by far. I think they have about 115 a game. So if the Kings don't score tomorrow, there will be some issue. I mean, like, that's a team that they don't stop anybody.
But you know that Brooklyn has this circled on the schedule.
Absolutely. They think they can win
three
that game.
Three times. Like, right. Circle, 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 circle. It ends here.
Yeah, let's get win number 10.
Let's get this one.
Yeah. Kings aren't playing great.
And they got to be thinking, obviously, you're not thinking you're going to come in here and get one when number 15 is still here. You're like, okay, that's going. We got to deal with that dude. But we can still beat this team. Okay, now without that presence and the way the team's played the last two games, you know they're thinking, oh, we're coming to eat.
No doubt.
A lot more NBA stuff to talk about. We spoke a little bit yesterday, Jason, about the triple-double and what that means. We pulled up a whole bunch of numbers for LeBron, Harden, and Westbrook. I have a huge problem with the MVP discussion. It'll make a ton of sense when we share these numbers with you. Also, huge day in the NFL, and I imagine the next 24 hours will be no different. We've been waiting on what's going to happen with Kirk Cousins. We now know he is not leaving Washington. We'll explain why that exclusive part of the franchise tag is so critical. Adrian Peterson, this is not a surprise. This is not breaking news. We've talked about it for, you know, the last 6 or 7 months, but it was made official today. We will give you that story. We'll get you caught up on everything that is going on in the NFL as we continue here, hour number one of the Lowdown on Sports 1140 KHDK. Oh, boy. Even Chris missed you.
Yeah.
Come on. I'll let you get it. I'll let you get it. Come on.
I got my ID. Got my ID. I'm finally me. Got my ID. Thank you, DMV. I'm all the way up.
What you can't see is him bouncing in his seat like a small child. It's quite wonderful.
That privilege.
I failed to mention during that glorious endorsement of how entertaining Sacramento Kings basketball has been over the course of the last two games that we have tickets for you to see Woo-hoo! That glorious basketball in person at the glorious Golden One Center. Listen up at 140. I promise I'll do a much better job of reminding you today than I did yesterday. That keyword comes right around 140. The second we head into commercial break, you hear that keyword and you text that in at 441140, and that'll be your chance to win tickets to the Sacramento Kings. Again, 140, we promise to remind you. All throughout the day, the NFL news is heating up with the franchise tags due tomorrow. There was one we were waiting for, Kirk Cousins. We're going to dig into that more at 2 o'clock. We'll talk also about some of the contracts that are being finalized, including Eric Berry becoming the richest safety in all of the NFL. The Hall of Fame talk for Terrell Owens. And now Randy Moss won't die. We have that coming up at 2:30. The first one, again, this isn't a surprise. We've talked about this for weeks, Jason. We talked about this a couple of days ago and the prospect of Adrian Peterson being an Oakland Raider. But they have officially parted ways today. The Minnesota Vikings announced they will not pick up the $18 million option on Adrian Peterson, which We knew they wouldn't because, by the way, Le'Veon Bell, best running back in all the NFL, got franchise tagged yesterday. Remember, the franchise tag is the average of the top five salaries in the league.
At that position.
At that position. Correct. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. At that position. 12.2. 12.2 million. There was no chance that Adrian Peterson at 32 was going to get 18 million. So the question is, new league year starts March 9th. Now what? Now what for Adrian Peterson?
That's a tough one. I feel like someone will take a chance on him.
I don't even know that it's that big of a chance, is it?
Well, it kind of is because of the age and the injuries, the trends of the game. It's becoming much more of a passing league. And then, I guess, I'm not quite sure if this is actually true, but I guess they're saying it's a pretty deep draft.
Yes, that's it. You know what I mean? That is 100%. You got Leonard Fournette, Dalvin Cook, Alvin Kamara of Tennessee, all slotted, at least at this moment, to go in the first round. Oh, you also have Christian McCaffrey there. So it's he's probably closer to a second round guy. You have some good second round backs, but yeah, this is a big draft for running backs.
Well, that's the thing. We've talked about how they don't seem to place that much of a priority on running backs anymore, right? They're really not that valued, or they don't.
Did Ezekiel Elliott change that?
I don't
know. Ezekiel Elliott drafted fourth, led the league in rushing, won. I don't remember which one he won. Did he win Rookie of the Year or did he win? He won one of the awards.
I think it was offensive.
Offensive rookie. Player. Offensive Rookie of the Year?
I think so, right?
Because Dak won something and Zeke won something. I can't remember if it was Offensive Rookie of the Year, Offensive Player of the Year, whichever
but
one.
But no, I guess I feel like no because I don't get the same consistent numbers, but I get the same impact from Jay Ajayi, right? Who you drafted much later and paid much less. So I'm like, I can get the same thing from that position without using my number four pick on you.
But it took Jay Ajayi some time, though.
I'm okay with that.
Okay.
I think a lot of it's also contingent on a line. I don't want to say Zeke isn't special, because I think he is, but what other guys? You know, McFadden was a 1,000-yard rusher the year before in Dallas behind that good line. But as far as Peterson, I think the question is a fair one. Is it? I think there is a risk there. Two of the last 3 years, he's played 3 games in 1 game. In between, though, he had a full year and he was really good.
So, I think he's played a total of like 20 of the last 40 some odd Minnesota Vikings
seasons.
Games.
Yep, 20 games. He's had 16-3 in the last 3 years.
If you are two teams, I can think of two teams specifically.
Okay.
And we've talked about this ad nauseum. If you are the Houston Texans or the Denver Broncos, this means nothing to you. You go get him. You go get him and you go get Romo and you go, we got 1, maybe 2 years to get our Super Bowl. Let's go get it.
I don't know what you have against Lamar Miller. I don't understand. You want him to play alongside of him?
No, I feel like he's a serviceable. You know what I mean? He's a Frank Gore. He's serviceable. He's going to be totally fine. But if you're going to do something of this nature, you want to go in fully loaded. You want to go in, you know we've got the best defense if you're Houston or Denver. You're like, we can both say we have the best defense in the league. They could both say that. Houston probably is closer to being right. But they'll both go into the season saying, we have the best defense. All we need is to shore up the other side. We have outstanding receivers. Both Houston and Denver has good receivers. Just don't have anyone to throw to them or a running back to offset that. And if I'm Houston especially, I'm like, I'll take that Tony Romo and that Adrian Peterson guy all day. We got 2 years. Let's go get it.
Let me ask you what I asked Damian yesterday. Do you think Peterson can go into a spot now where he's a guy, or does he have to be the guy? Because he's been the guy. He's been Minnesota's franchise. But he's at a point where the name still holds up, but is he a 15-carry, help out the team, get the important yards, or is he, I'm the offense? How does he self-evaluate him?
I really believe that he believes in his mind that he can still get you 1,200 yards. And I think that's important. I think that's why teams will take a chance on him, because he's a hard worker and he still has that confidence. But I also feel if he goes to a situation, let's say Houston or Denver, and let's say they have Tony Romo as a quarterback in either of those environments, I feel like Adrian's a good enough teammate. He'll understand there's a much bigger presence here than me. And you've got a place like Houston where he knows the defense is pretty much the star. And I think if he's there with someone like Tony Romo, I think he needs the 15 touches, but I don't think he's going to be the kind that's upset if he's not getting the ball at crucial moments. But I also think that if you have Adrian Peterson, you use him until he proves that he can't be relied upon. Until you get to week 7 or 8 and you're like, okay, you're not the Adrian Peterson that we thought you were going to be. But until then, you give him the ball.
Oakland. I'm going to give you three teams. I'll give you three teams and let you digest all of them.
Okay.
Oakland. Seattle. And I know you don't like this one, but it makes total sense. The freaking Green Bay Packers.
No on the Packers, because I feel like if you have – I don't know which is better if you have recurring knee problems. Is it better to be in that cold weather 8 weeks out of the year on that
– even probably though it's probably not cold 8 weeks. Probably only cold like the last
– but really cold.
But it's really cold.
I would think
the
running
four.
Back would be like
Raiders, you want to play on the infield of the Oakland A's?
I know that might be weird too. But the Oakland situation for me is I really, and I'm sorry, I just feel like they're 2-3 tops years away, and I don't think Adrian's going to want to do that. I don't think that they're a this year championship.
Yeah. I totally disagree with you there. I totally disagree. What about Seattle then?
That would be interesting.
My issue is we got to look at offensive lines, right?
He's
not going to Dallas.
Right.
Second best offensive line in the league is Oakland.
Okay.
Latavius Murray's walking. He's a free agent. 2 years. You got Jalen Richard. You got DeAndre Washington. Why not? Why not make a pitch at least? Seattle is different. What was the biggest issue at the start of the season for Seattle?
Their line.
It's that offensive line. Yeah. Could it work? Oh, maybe. But they got things to fix there on that offensive line.
I guess my thing is I
can't have Russell Wilson play half of the season hurt again.
Yeah, I guess my issue is I just don't think the Raiders are mature enough to be a champion yet, and I didn't think that he'd want to wait around for that. You can't go out there and have 20 some odd penalties, 15 a game on a regular basis, and I mean, that's a huge problem.
So we're talking about Denver and Green Bay.
I'm still talking about Houston. I don't know why you keep.
You're just so dismissive of Lamar Miller. I don't know.
Well, it's not. I'm not dismissive. Like I said, he's totally serviceable. He's just not exciting.
Is he? So you bring him in. Think about this for a second. Okay. You come back and answer. You bring him into Houston. Is he A or B? We'll come back. A lot more NFL stuff to talk about, including the players not being allowed at the combine. Is the NFL taking a good, strong moral stand, or is this just really stupid? We'll explain next on the Lowdown. Well, I'll save you the trouble, fellas. You don't have to worry about Kirk Cousins being a San Francisco 49er. That was a great little strategic move by his agent, but that's not happening. That exclusive tag, that exclusive part of the franchise tag changes the whole conversation for Kirk Cousins. We got numbers to back that up. We will do that at 2 o'clock. I asked you right before we went to break, Ken, Adrian Peterson and Lamar Miller, you're talking about Houston as a destination for Adrian Peterson. Lamar Miller last year, 1,000 yards on the ground, 1073. You want to bring them in as kind of an Atlanta Falcons situation, like a Coleman Freeman type deal, or you want to bring him in, Lamar Miller be the backup?
Yeah, Adrian Peterson, I think, deserves the respect and consideration, and I don't think that he's shown that he's not the number one ball carrier on your team. So, yeah, if Adrian Peterson goes there, he's my number one, and Lamar is the backup.
And he played three games. Was it three games last year?
Three games. That was. His...
And they weren't pretty.
No. Last year, no. But he has 7 1,000-yard seasons.
So here's the thing. You have to put the emphasis on Tony Romo first, I'm assuming, before you even contemplate doing anything with Adrian Peterson.
Nope.
You can't do both.
Why can't I?
Well, you got to pay him.
Well, Adrian's going to be considerably cheaper.
What range do you think Adrian Peterson will be in, though?
You can get him for 10.
Yeah, that's what I thought, too. I thought 10 guaranteed for the year. Yeah. I thought he'd probably get a fake 3-year deal, but
exactly.
Like a two-year $20 million dollar deal. That's
precisely
what I thought he'd get, or it would average to 10 each.
Yeah, right? I think in his mind he has to be perceived as the A.
Yeah.
Because if he's the B, then I'd go to Dallas.
Yeah.
He's wanted to be a Cowboy, go and be the B. If he's going to accept being the second guy, go to Dallas.
Right.
But he wants to be the guy.
And I think there's still room for that. Like I said, until he proves maybe by week 7 or 8, if he's not putting up the numbers, you're like, okay, you're not the guy we thought. That's $8 million or whatever that we lost this year. We'll cancel the option on the second year and we'll move on. Now, that's an investment I think that Houston can afford to make considering all the money they've already lost and how close I really believe they are to being a Super Bowl contender with that defense.
Yeah.
But, you know, that window, it's quick.
Yeah.
You got to get into it. And so they tried. And I thought, obviously, it was a pretty bad gamble with Osweiler.
Yeah.
But I don't think investing in Adrian Peterson with a bad knee or not is a bad gamble. I think there's still something there.
Yeah, and a couple ways to look at it. In the last 3 years, like we said, he hasn't played that many games. Had one full season and played one in the other and three games in the other. Yes, there are literal injuries there, but he's also hasn't been getting hit.
Exactly.
So, I mean, he's old in running back years, but I think he's got something left.
Absolutely. So you pick him up first. I think it's going to be easier. Then you start to focus on trying to somehow get Tony Romo.
Well, you know, I mean, it's going to happen on the – well, it's not going to happen the same day. If Adrian Peterson goes out and does the free agency tour, he's going to have a few days to play with. The Cowboys don't have to decide what they're going to do by March 9th, which is the day the new league year starts. They have to decide what they're going to do March 11th. And then once they make that decision March 11th or before then Tony Romo goes on his free agency tour, which I don't imagine is going to be that long of a tour.
No, you think it would just be selective, maybe two?
Denver, Houston.
I don't know. Is there any wild cards in there?
I don't know that there's. I can't think of who else it might be besides those two teams.
Because he's going to a ready-made situation.
He's
right?
going to try to win a Super Bowl and nothing else. Yeah. Or Jerry surprises Saul and says, "Screw it, he's a cowboy.
Cowboy for life."
That's what I would do.
I want to be a cowboy.
Because we talked about this the other day, guys, a while back, about how players don't get courted. This only happens to you a couple times in your life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so.
And not so much in the NFL.
Exactly. So would he want to look at maybe some more teams? Would he think, you know what? What are the Los Angeles Chargers doing? You guys think maybe you want to get rid of Philip Rivers?
Like, I don't think he's enamored by that stuff.
No?
I don't think so. I mean, I could see why a player would, and don't fault that at all.
Yeah.
I don't think he's that guy. I think he has – he wants – if he comes back and I can play for the next 5 years – but wins a Super Bowl with Houston or Denver next year, I think he retires. I think that's all he wants.
Well, yeah.
He wants to win it with Dallas. I firmly believe he wants nothing more than to win a Super Bowl with Dallas. But he wants to – but that's one. 1A is just to win a Super Bowl, period.
Yeah, so if a team like San Francisco throws just an obscene amount of money and woos him to death.
No.
That's empty. No non-starter.
No way.
Yeah, I guess
I wouldn't
would
do it
tough.
If I was him.
I mean, I wouldn't either unless it was – well, I'm going to play about four more years, and in 4 years, the NFL, a lot of things can change, but I don't know if there are other more appealing options.
Yeah. So he'll take his trips. He might even think about New York.
New York who?
Jets or Giants?
Jets.
No way.
No? They still have some good receivers over there. Their problem is their quarterback.
Don't do that. Don't do that.
They need
Tony,
a quarterback.
Don't do that to my quarterback, man. Don't do that to my quarterback. Last year, the NFL instituted a policy that bars prospects from combine participation. The NFL combine kicks off this weekend. Who have misdemeanor or felony convictions involving violence or use of a weapon, domestic violence, a sexual offense, and or sexual assault. A couple of players fall into that category. A couple of note: Joe Mixon, Chad Kelly, and Ishmael Zamora. He had the animal cruelty. Oklahoma kid had the animal cruelty thing.
Yeah.
On. So these guys are not allowed at the combine. Is that a bad thing?
Well, the premise...
is this really a punishment?
It's kind of hypocritical, but
yeah,
okay.
That's it, right? Why are they taking a stronger stance on guys that aren't even a part of their league yet than the people that are actually in their league?
And it's still, this is not stopping these individuals from having an agent and still getting signed.
Well, of course not.
What are they doing?
Because they can still have pro days. What this does is makes it significant because, you know, they call it the Underwear Olympics. It's really a show. It's really the prime A example of why professional athletes are nothing more than pieces of meat. Here, put on these clothes. We're going to measure your legs, your reach, your jump, your high jump, your sprint. We're going to measure all this stuff. And then you're going to be interviewed in a hotel room by 32 different NFL franchises. And we're going to talk about some of the ridiculous questions that these NFL franchises ask coming up at 2:45. But these guys now, when they do their pro day, they have to have medical examinations and separate interviews on different days with each different organization that comes. So is it more annoying for a player? Probably not. It's probably they're probably far more comfortable in their pro day than they would be at the combine. Is it a bigger hassle for NFL teams? Almost certainly. Because now they have to do separate medical examinations for these players. It comes across as a lame attempt to take a stand.
Exactly.
That accomplishes nothing.
Absolutely nothing. It's a pretty weak gesture that they put out there. Like, hey, look at what we're doing. Like, no, it's hypocritical at best.
We'll come back. We had a discussion yesterday about the triple-double, and obviously in the NBA there is a ton of discussion about the MVP, and it feels like, fair to say, Harden's leading the race right now.
Well, I don't know.
No?
Leading?
I feel like all of the chatter I've heard is that James Harden is leading the race. Hopefully I'm wrong, because I have a big issue with that there for a number of different reasons. We'll explain at the top of the 1 o'clock hour, plus 3 the Hard Way coming up in about 15 minutes. We're getting rolling. Hour number 2 of the Lowdown coming up next.